Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dr. Lewis Evans tells of a young man coming up to him on a state university campus and saying, "I'm sick and tired of being a rebel against everything and everyone. Self-expression, I'm sick and tired of expressing myself. I came to ask you, sir, if you knew of anyone or anything worth dying for." There you have it. The absolute sickness with the insipid freedom which leads to a dead end. The search for something worth living for, yes, even worth dying for. St. Barnabas and St. Paul knew the answer to that young man's question. Listen to the words of Acts 15, 25 and 26 again. "It has seemed good to us in assembly to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ." A seemingly insignificant phrase, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, but how pregnant with meaning. The words could literally be translated, men who have given up their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. The use of the perfect participle indicates that the giving up of their lives, though a past action, has continuing effect in the present. They willingly gave their lives to the service of the Lord Jesus. And that sacrificial giving continued until the steel of Nero flashed in the sun, and Paul, and by tradition also Barnabas, began new chapters of their lives in the presence of the Christ whom they had faithfully served until death. Now, such a sacrifice is not unique to the apostolic age. It was true long ago when three holy children stood before the king of Babylon and refused to bow down before the image of Nebuchadnezzar and boldly said these words, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the golden image which you have set up." Notice the words, "but if not." They understood that it was possible that God might not have saved them, but they still would not bow their knees, and they would not commit idolatry. It was true in the life of the greatest of the reformers, who, though he put his life in jeopardy, must of necessity say, "Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God helping me. Amen." Does that dedication occur today? Yes, it does. If I could go down the aisles of our seminary chapel today and ask you your story, I'm sure many stories would indicate that there is evidence among the men and women in the sanctuary today. Tales that you could tell us of careers given up, engineers, lawyers, careers in radio, in TV, in education, and the like, simply because you wanted to serve your Lord Jesus Christ. And among the faculty, men with families in the Philippines, in other states of the Union, men who have given up prestige and position and tenure and vast financial resources to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. None of you asking for any fanfare or credit of any kind. Willingly, you were given of the best of your lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. What motivated Barnabas? What motivated Paul? What still motivates a man or a woman to do such a seemingly foolish thing? Nothing less than the love of Jesus Christ. We have found something to live for and to die for. Because there is one who came into the world who lived and died for us. There was one who entered into this world in order to rescue mankind from the dire results of his sin, his rebellion against God. No one coerced the Lord Jesus to come, yet that one who was God himself, who is God himself, willingly divested himself of all of his glory that he possessed before the world was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You and I, my brothers and sisters, have come to see our own helplessness and our own hopelessness. We are lost in trespasses and sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid on him, our Lord Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. This wonderful Lord and Savior lived and died and was raised again for our sins and for our justification. We are now free, free to serve him, free from our sins. We who deserve nothing but eternal condemnation for our sins, hear the blessed Son of God say to us continually in word and sacrament, "My son, my daughter, thy sins be forgiven thee." These are the words of the Lord. They are true. And when we hear them, we have the echo in our hearts, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." And now we have something to live for. Now we have something to die for. The one who brought us to himself in holy baptism enabled us to live a life of daily dying to self and sin and shame, as Luther bids us to do in his catechism. In the unforgettable words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. That is the cost of discipleship. Not a strange, morbid, seeking the martyr's crown, such as was characterized by Ignatius of Antioch, but rather the same dedication of life and being in response to the love of Christ, as is indicated in the Epistle to the Romans. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your logical worship." Therefore, we join Johann Scheffler beneath the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, gazing up into the face of that sovereign sufferer of the cross. We join him in saying, "O love, who once in time wast slain, pierced through and through with bitter woe. O love, who wrestling thus didst gain that we eternal joy might know. O love, I give myself to thee, thine ever, only thine to be." Some may call this death. We know it to be life, life indeed. Amen.